strength and all praise and glory for every issue. To the power of the good God, to send the sword, and watch on the arm of the blood sword, and we may be with them until they wait for thee. But if in how much you will come back to us, to the outside of the world, supreme God, in the names of your sent hands, to do your prophets and human things, to do the completely and fully awakened one, and in that transcend and destroy it, the glorious conqueror, the surgeon of the shattered heart, I prostrate and offering his blood for refuge. To the founder of the endowed transcend and destroy it, the one who will be all of the blood destroyed, the completely protected, fully awakened being, but with the knowledge and equal conduct, to the outlander of the world, supreme God of human beings, we return. Teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, the endowed transcend and destroy it, the glorious conqueror, the secure of the shadowing path, our strength and make offerings in your ever refuge. When the supreme executives were born and stood, they shall have certain strides. Then said I, supreme in this world, to you, the wise and the high prostrate, with pure bodies, formed supreme and pure, with this notion like the golden mountain, and in the ladies in the three worlds, winner of the best world to you, I prostrate. With the supreme sign, face like flawless moon, cover like gold to you, I prostrate. Thus three like you, the three worlds are not, incomparably wise one to you, I prostrate. The Savior had great compassion, the fountain and all understanding, the pure prayer of the qualities like God's ocean, to you, the one most blessedness, I prostrate. The purity that brings one from attachment, the purity that brings one from the lower realms, the one path that is aligned with your reality, to the love that has the I prostrate. Let us so liberate and also share the path of liberation, the holy healed qualified with your elections, who are devoted to the moral precepts, to you, the sublime community intending the virtue of my possession. Homage to the Supreme Buddha, homage to the Dharma Refuge, homage to the Great Sangha, to all three that desire homage, to all worthy of respect, having the bodies as many as all our own sacraments in all our aspects, the Supreme Day by Day homage. Do not permit any non-religious actions, or more than the related religious actions. So to you, we are authority, this is the teaching of Buddha. The star of the operation of the name of the lamb, and the vision of the world to you, O God, the dream of flash of light in your power, so you can vision things as such. Through these merits, they send me beings to the name of rank or seeing, so to you, the God of false, and be delivered from some star expression, but to live out the way that you may take sickness and death. Our prosperity, we are a great good for them. Thus, God, I live in your heart, and what God was doing on that sculpture's mountain, in our creation, the great community of monks and the great community of other sacrifices. At that time, the Bible One was absorbed in the concentration on the calories of the Mount or the Mount of the Section. Also, at that time, the Holy Sattva Mahasattva, I had a whole Kishara, looked upon the very practice of the profound meditation wisdom, a result of this Mount, also a technique of her meditation. Then, in the time of the Buddha, the Venom of Shakurji's existence, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, I had a whole Kishara, after she had examined the image training and wishes to practice the activity of the confrontation of wisdom, he was said that the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, I have a Bodhisattva, said this to the Venerable Shakurji. Shakurji, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the confrontation of wisdom, which will go on like this, the record of the community, along with the five languages, to also accept the inherent nature. Form is empty and empty is the form, and emptiness is not other than form, form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, here is discrimination of conscious perhaps and consciousness ranking. Shakurji likewise is all the honor and emptiness of the power and accuracy. Unused, unsuited, stainless, not without stain, not efficient, not fulfilled. Shakurji, therefore, is intensely rich in form, no being, no discrimination, no conscious perhaps. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, no odor of mind. There is no eye element and so on, up to the degree of an eye element, and no mental object and so on. There is no appearance, no experience, and so on, up to the degree of age and death, and no experience of age and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation,
There is no resolution, no attainment, no submission. The character of the whole
Christmas is not a thing, but a separate design and perfection. The mind without aspiration and without fear. That is completely possible in every generation and part of the line. All that is Israel, three times, also manifested, completely arranged, once possible, perfect, completely harmonized, in reliance on the perfection of Jesus. Therefore, the nature of perfection of wisdom, the nature of great knowledge, the unsurpassed nature, the nature of evil is the unequal, the nature that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, is human and spirit, since it is not false. The nature of perfection of wisdom is declared. By our own, the Lamb has not spoken, the temple shall be preached. The Lord has set the mass of the higher of his heart, and let it surround him in a body, along with the royal thoughts, students, and servants, and the others, the Lord has joined in highly praised at the first word of God.
Page 98.
Lam ande sidan dhuba ina janshu sem da ane niche da ane jamba da zewa niche janshu sem tongyu dhubi sherab ande nyamtule digyula jayagi dhendara sungwa di nan dhubo re sechik kisen shu yishu sanne din nene tangadze nile nile liya ane giri ne nan shuwe ne jike ya jike nye sosu ki lunga ki tiringi nisu ane lunga nyeba zao yi jikime sembe ke ane Jika domsim jeje turum sunya da, ane dene ge di dene ane nene nene lele kane chebe ne shen ya penpe chiongwa shio sunji penpe senpe gu ne lang je ane jawa tuya. Ane dhiya ane jike dema ma chupo dong yi samma da je, mundu chi nama tu nene nene lele ane nene ge to nene jikang gong yu chiyong che gore ya sa chike sen dene shu sa shirwa.
And then good evening everyone. So last week we continued to look at the summary presentation of the six perfections. So we saw that the path of the Bodhisattva is these six perfections, and therefore the various levels or stages of these practices are particularly important. But if we take all these, take these six perfections and we reduce them down to their very essence, then we'd say it's the practices of love, of compassion, and of emptiness. And these are primarily what we should be striving to give rise to within our own continuums. And last week, the way that this was mentioned, that we should incorporate this within our daily practice, is that in the morning when we get up, we should, thinking through these various steps, we should come to the conclusion that today, with all my activities and with whomever I encounter, I will ensure that I do not harm others. I will restrain my mind so that I don't harm others physically or verbally or even have negative thoughts. And we continue cultivating our motivation, so we come to a second conclusion, that in our various activities of the day, whomever I encounter, I will ensure that not only do I not harm them, but I'll help them in whatever way I possibly can. And then thereafter we should include a meditation on emptiness. So that's in brief what we looked at last week.
That didn't show it in my... हम जुम दें बेके अने जो चलिया अने चे न्यामसुले के अने चे जी याक्षो थर्डू दिखा रहे हैं सजिया अने जो चलिया शु अने जो चीज़ अने यहाँ अने जी के तेने तेने रहे से माँ अने कना अने जी को माँ शु चे
Tonight we'll continue at the middle of page 255, where Drontompa asks Lama Tisha, what is the ultimate of all teachings, or the ultimate meaning of all teachings? And we'll come now to the reply from Lama Tisha. Meaning of this question is John Thompa is saying to Lama Tisha that the Buddhist path encompasses such a vast array of our various practices. Amongst all of these then, which is the best, which is the supreme or the ultimate?
And then again, Janshu Sem Gomia, and Tony to Vishera Gomia, and the Nigri Mongushor, the Chen Yamajal, Chiku Sosugi, Wombo, Ribol Mason, Ribe Yara, Tele Yara, Yamnachiata, Tuskua, the Ting, the Ting Yamnachua, the Joa Yamnachia, then as a Lemlim Shia to Gibu Chumi, that Gibu Chumi Lamrim and Yamnacheta, Jingi Yamnacheta, Gibu Chimbi Lamu and Yamnacheta, the name Yamnachi Mongoyor, the Nigna.
This question from Don Thompa is quite relevant, because many practitioners, we have questions like this. Because if we think of the vast array of practices that we are encouraged to do within the Buddha Dharma, it can seem a bit overwhelming. We may think, well, what really should we be doing? Because one may have received various commitments and then one's encouraged to do those. Then one may also want to engage in prostrations, or having heard the benefits of reciting Om Mani Padme Hum, one may want to recite a lot of mantras, or especially where we live by this wonderful stupa, one may want to do lots of kora. Or having hearing and teachings every week, the importance of meditation, one may think, I really need to emphasize meditation in my daily practice. But what should I meditate on? Because I hear that one needs to start out to enter a path, one needs the mind of definite emergence. One needs to give rise to renunciation. But this too has so many subdivisions. And then in addition, I hear about the importance of bodhicitta, how bodhicitta is essential for the attainment of Buddhahood. But then I also hear that emptiness is particularly important. So where should I start? And then when we think of how the Lamrim is divided, it's divided into beings of small, middling, and great capacity, depending on their own mental predispositions and abilities. So then one may think, so where should I start? What is best?
Yeah. ᱟᱨ ᱡᱚᱢ ᱫᱮᱢ ᱨᱮᱜᱮ ᱫᱮᱱᱤᱜᱮ ᱡᱚᱜᱚ ᱵᱟᱫᱤ ᱡᱚᱢ ᱫᱮᱢ ᱠᱚᱨᱚᱱ ᱧᱟᱢᱞᱮᱱ ᱡᱮᱵᱟ ᱢᱟᱥᱤᱝ ᱵᱟᱪᱮ ᱛᱟ ᱫᱮᱱᱤᱜᱮ ᱢᱟᱥᱤᱝ ᱵᱮ ᱜᱟᱨᱮ ᱡᱮᱣᱟᱱᱟ ᱥᱟᱢᱡᱮ ᱫᱮᱱᱮ ᱢᱟᱥᱤᱝ ᱵᱮ ᱡᱤᱭᱮᱱ ᱡᱮ ᱭᱟ ᱡᱩ ᱥᱩᱜᱭᱚ ᱠᱟᱭ ᱢᱟᱨᱮ ᱥᱮ ᱠᱚᱨᱚᱱ ᱡᱚᱢ ᱫᱮᱢ ᱠᱚᱨᱚᱱ ᱧᱟᱢᱞᱮᱱ ᱡᱮᱛᱟ ᱥᱤᱝᱜᱚ ᱨᱮ ᱤᱱᱮ ᱟᱱᱮ ᱛᱟᱝ ᱡᱩᱜᱤ ᱪᱤ ᱛᱟᱢ ᱡᱚᱢ ᱫᱩᱜᱤ ᱭᱟ ᱡᱚᱜᱚ ᱡᱮᱞᱮ ᱡᱩᱜᱚ ᱚ ᱛᱟ ᱠᱚᱨᱚᱱ ᱧᱟᱢᱞᱮᱱ ᱵᱟ ᱧᱟᱢᱞᱮᱱ ᱡᱮ ᱢᱟᱥᱤᱝ ᱵᱟᱪᱮ ᱟᱱᱮ ᱠᱚ ᱜᱟᱨᱮ ᱡᱮᱣᱟᱱᱟ ᱥᱟᱢᱡᱮ ᱭᱟ ᱥᱩᱵᱤᱱ ᱥᱮ ᱥᱟᱢ ᱥᱟᱢ ᱢᱤᱝᱜᱩᱨ ᱵᱟ ᱠᱚᱨᱚᱱ ᱧᱟᱢᱞᱮᱱ ᱡᱮ ᱢᱟᱥᱤᱝ ᱵᱟᱪᱮ tāngā ñamlēn gārā chīvā gārā chīnā yāk shio rā sīnā dīnē shū, chīvā shū mēn rā sāmbē yu dōkā yungu rā wā chīsā dōm dōmā khurā dīnē mā shīngbā mā rā dōm dōmā khurā ñamlēn jī shīnggō rā sī gārā yāk shio gārā mā chāsā shīnggō rā sī yī nā dōm dōmā kī yā chīvā chīlī yā chīvā shū chī mā chīmbī yu cū rū chī chā yā chīvā shū ān chīvā chī kī mā lēn jī dīnē dū chīvā rā sīnā dīnē dīnē rē sū ngā dī ānā mī māngbō chī kī ānā chī kī chīvā chīlī yā bēn chī kī yōng chā kī tā ngā nē 지게 kewa chimbo, ane bwelea, ane chikpea chen, ane chik jangshu semna, dine ki nyamlin shoki pe maasi da jira she, che shoki zang, korongi dine dine sung chik dine she gore sobe na, ane mi mangbo chiki nyenghe mangbo chilea, ane chik yi she dang, lo di wu yong ya yu dung da la, ane ya di shu bade chile.
In the past, we've heard a bit about who John Tompo was. So he was a renowned practitioner. So knowing this, then one may be a little surprised why he's asking a question such as this, because he's not confused about how to practice, what the various stages are, what he himself should be engaging in. So it may seem on the surface a little bit strange why he is asking such a question when he doesn't lack, he would know what the answer would be. But the reason he asked such a question is because of the benefit that the answer would provide for those who are not in his position, for those who are not learned and have a lot of experience. So it's for the benefit of others that John Tompa asked this question to Atisha. And also knowing that Atisha is highly regarded within Tibet, then that answer would have had a great impact on those who would have come to hear later the answer. And the answer from Lama Atisha was that the ultimate meaning of the Buddha Dhamma is emptiness, of which compassion is the very essence. So if one is going to condense down the Buddha Dhamma, it would be into this phrase, emptiness, of which compassion is the very essence. And so the meaning of this is twofold. One, that one needs to meditate on emptiness, and secondly, one needs to meditate on bodhicitta.
Yeah.
The reason then that this that the emptiness of which compassion is the very essence is presented as being the ultimate of all the teachings is because if we think of the various results within the Buddha Dharma, so we hear about the importance of attaining a good basis for the practice of the Buddha Dharma, such as the rebirth as of either a human being or as a god. But even if one were to attain such a result, one still suffers. And that's because the causes for suffering have not been abandoned. So therefore, attaining a good rebirth, a rebirth in a happy migration, cannot be said to be the ultimate goal or the ultimate result of the Buddha Dharma. And if one were to progress significantly further and attain complete liberation from samsara and attain the state of a photostore of an arahat, then that too couldn't be called the ultimate goal of the Buddha Dharma because one still has the obscurations to omniscience to abandon. And not having abandoned the obscurations to omniscience means that there are still many qualities that one has yet to attain. So therefore, even the state of complete liberation from the suffering realms of samsara, the state of liberation, that too is not the ultimate goal of the Buddha Dharma. Rather, the very best state, the highest, the supreme goal, is that of the state of Buddhahood. Once one attains the state of a Buddha, when one arises as a Buddha, there are no further qualities to develop. All their inner qualities have been developed to their furthest level. And in conjunction with this, all the subtlest faults, the subtlest of the subtlest faults, these have been completely abandoned. Therefore, the goal of Buddhahood is the ultimate goal. And to achieve this, one needs to realize bodhicitta, and secondly, realize emptiness. And it's for that reason that emptiness, of which compassion is the very essence, is the answer to the question of what is the ultimate of all teachings. So we hear then that one has to practice bodhicitta or cultivate bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness in order to attain Buddhahood. So then what is this mind that is the mind of bodhicitta or the mind of enlightenment? So this comes from firstly the recognition that all sentient beings without exception are the same as myself in wanting to experience only happiness, a moment after moment of lasting happiness. And coming to this understanding and developing it to the point where one takes responsibility to ensuring that all beings experience only happiness. And then accompanying this mind is the recognition that all beings, just like myself, don't want to experience any problems, any difficulties, any suffering at all. not even for the slightest of moments. All sentient beings, just like us, want to be completely free of suffering. And then suddenly one takes this understanding and develops it further to the point where one, from the depths of one's heart, one takes responsibility to free all beings from all forms of suffering. And having accepted this responsibility, and in a heartful manner, in a genuine manner, this responsibility to free all beings from suffering and to ensure that all beings experience only happiness, then what the first of the two aspects of bodhicitta is attained, and then the second then one strives for. And that is the recognition that to help sentient beings, one has to be the most skillful of guides. And amongst all the various guides, the most skillful is a Buddha, because it's only a Buddha that knows all the unique and varied dispositions of sentient beings. So with this understanding, then the practitioner makes the commitment that she will attain Buddhahood for the sake of all sentient beings, because it's only as a Buddha that one will have the skill and the ability to skillfully guide others so that they can abandon all the causes of suffering and attain all the causes for lasting happiness. So with those two minds, the minds of taking responsibility to free all sentient beings from suffering, and the mind of, to achieve that, I will attain a state of a Buddha for the sake of others, one gives rise to the mind of bodhicitta. When one is cultivating bodhicitta, one will give rise to the strong mind of a powerful mind of compassion, wanting all sentient beings to be free of suffering. But this alone doesn't lead to the arisal of bodhicitta. One needs to take this mind of compassion, develop it much more powerfully, so that it encompasses all sentient beings without exception and has great power. And this is when one develops it to the point where it is called the mind of great compassion. And so this is the meaning of here, compassion is the very essence. All of us have within us the seeds of compassion, and these ripen when we experience or observe the suffering that's being experienced by others, whether it's our fellow human beings or animals. And when we see them in their pitiful state, often lost and without the ability to resolve their situation, compassion does arise within us. But sometimes that's all that happens. We have a feeling of compassion, a mind of compassion arises, and then it passes and we go on with our day. At other times, that compassion leads to us taking action, to us not only feeling compassion for the suffering that others are experiencing, but to deciding, I will help them. I will help them be free from the suffering situation that they find themselves trapped in. I will help them. And then we provide whatever resources we can. If they're impoverished, you may give them money or food, or if they require medical treatment but cannot afford it, we may sponsor them to make it possible. So in these ways, we go a little further to help others. Or when we encounter obstacles in trying to help others, for example, we don't have the means, then if our compassion has arisen in a more powerful way, such an obstacle will not defeat us. We will look for a way that we can help them. We'll contact other organizations or put them in contact with organizations that can help. Or we'll fundraise to help someone if their problem requires a large sum of money. We will not be deferred from our objective of being of benefit to others just by mere obstacles. So here we can see a differing response from the arisal of the mind of compassion. And this comes through how much habituation or familiarity we have with the mind of compassion. The stronger this mind is within us, the more readily it will arise and the greater the impact it has in terms of motivating our activities. And when we've cultivated this mind so that it becomes strong and powerful within us, we will then want to become the most skillful being possible, the being who can help others in all situations, and whether the suffering is very obvious or the causes of the suffering are much more hidden. And so such a practitioner who's given rise to very powerful compassion, they will seek out the most skilled mental state that they can achieve so they can be of greatest benefit to others. And that is the state of Buddhahood. So this wish to attain the mind the wish to become a Buddha comes from the mind of great compassion. The sequence here then is, first one cultivates compassion, and this is something that we all have the ability to do because we all have these seeds within us. So through familiarity, through meditating repeatedly over a sustained period, then these seeds get nurtured and they grow stronger and more powerful. And then we become more habituated to the mind of compassion, it arises more easily and is more powerful within us and remains longer. In this way, has a greater impact on our interactions with others. And the stronger this gets, then the more involved we'll be with helping others be freed from suffering. Because often the situation for many beings is they'll see suffering of others either directly or say on the television news, and compassion will arise within them. But then they'll just get on with their lives. They'll see this as not being their problem, as not being any of their business. Maybe they walk past someone on the street who clearly is in distress, but they won't take that as their responsibility, but they'll rather think, oh, someone else can sort this out. However, if someone has been cultivating compassion within themselves and the compassion is now becoming powerful, then this mind of taking responsibility will naturally start to arise. And this comes from the strong wish for others to be freed from all forms of suffering. So this here, the cultivation of compassion so that it comes to this point where it arises to the strength of being called great compassion, where one wholeheartedly takes responsibility to alleviate others of suffering. This is one of two meanings of the compassion, which is the very essence. So the second meaning would be if one develops one's compassion to the point where it becomes actual bodhicitta, that would be the second meaning of compassion is the very essence.
Hey, Bene, Deniki, Chike, Dumada, Jana, Sembike, Samlo, Shukchenbu, Jena, Deli, Rogo, Chiki, Yoba, Dian, Sembje, Dundola, Yorwa, Dane, Bene, Dundro, Chike, Bene, Shawaro, Shine, Koran, Pugu, Yama, Chita, and it making Shawa, Mangu, Shavana, Yua. Shawa, Semjin, Shawa Yorba, Dakin Guru Jasana, you are the Shawa Nashi, Shawa, the Pugu Yuji, Amachida, Pugu Yamdi, Shawa Che, Tim the Pugu, and make it in the Shawa Mambu Yuna, and a Chick Semjin, Chigi, Taru, Jigi, Chick Deche, Pugu, Jiondu, and the Juachi, Semjin, and that's a so tired, don't allow Jen to go over that.
To give rise then to the point where one gives rise, to come to the point where one gives rise to great compassion or bodhicitta, then one needs to develop the strong, powerful mind of compassion through wanting to free others, through wanting others to be freed from suffering. So here one goes to the various steps of the meditation, giving rise to the strong wish for others to be freed of suffering, and taking responsibility to ensure that others become freed of suffering. Now this is a wish, this is a mind that we will need to intentionally cultivate within us. But within the world, many beings naturally have this, but we need to develop in a far broader way. However, the seeds are within all of us. And where we can see this acted out is in the human world as well as in the animal kingdom. So an illustration that one can take as an example and something one can use in our meditation is if we think of what we've seen in nature documentaries. So there'll be a group of deer together. I don't know the collective noun, but a group of deer together. And they may be attacked by a predator. So of course the deer will all flee. But if there's a young fawn, the fawn's mother will stay with the fawn and try somehow to protect her child, protect her fawn from this predator. So the danger is apparent, that the mother is certainly in danger too, and the mother is aware that her life is in danger. This isn't something that she's not aware of. But her overwhelming wish is not anything to do with herself, but is to protect her dear child. So trying to protect her dear child just with her own body, despite the danger, is what she'll do. All the other deer, they've scattered. So what we can see here is the strong mind, the strong wish for her loved one to be free from suffering. So this is something we have experience of. We've seen it, we've watched it in documentaries. And this strength of mind is something that we need to cultivate in our meditation. When we come to understand what suffering is, and we understand how all beings are suffering, and give rise to the strong wish that wants them to be freed of suffering, and that is our first and sole objective. And we're not concerned about ourselves and our own needs, but we need to fulfill this commitment we've made, this commitment to free all beings from suffering. We've spoken now about the cultivation of the mind of bodhicitta, and we saw there that it has these two aspects. The first, where one takes responsibility for the welfare of sentient beings, and secondly, where one makes the heartfelt commitment to attain the state of Buddhahood for the sake of others. So what is preventing us from attaining the state of Buddhahood? So these are the seeds of the ignorance of true grasping together with their imprints. This is what stops us from becoming Buddhas. And so these seeds, together with the imprints, have to be abandoned. And how are they abandoned? Through developing the wisdom realizing emptiness. So this shows that through only meditating on bodhicitta, one cannot attain Buddhahood. One also needs the wisdom realizing emptiness. Because the wisdom realizing emptiness can be likened to a fire that destroys the seeds of ignorance as well as the imprints of those seeds. So this is why we also need to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness in order to fulfill this heartfelt wish of attaining Buddhahood for the sake of others.
Jesus,
and you have in that Purtuguri essay. And then you show what you need, this word, didn't I see that? Want to Yasanjo go about Hala, Tabna Lam, Tabna Sherab Niga, Sunjo Gumguri, city that Tab Jashu Semna, Sherab Tony to Sherab Niga Sunjo Gumguri, this word. The name is that Jesa Yahshua Sanjo go on to her, the Lam Yamaja Yahshua D, Tony Nimbojan.
Now we really come to look at the meaning of the answer here from Lama Tisha, emptiness of which compassion is the very essence. So what is meant through this entire answer is that one needs to cultivate both bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. Both are needed. So one needs both method, that of bodhicitta, and wisdom, the mind that is the wisdom realizing emptiness. And this is because, as we heard quite a bit last week and briefly tonight, that if one only meditates and cultivates the wisdom realizing emptiness, one cannot attain Buddhahood. Similarly, if one only cultivates bodhicitta, one cannot attain Buddhahood. Rather, one needs the union of both. And the analogy that's often given here is a bird requires both wings. If a bird only has, say, its left wing, it's not going to fly. If it only has its right wing, it's not going to fly. It needs both, and they both need to be healthy and operative at the same time. So therefore, one needs the union of method and wisdom, or the union of bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. And this is the meaning of this answer from Lama Atisha.
Yeah. The Australia ke kenguru din la ba ni da ga ba xi yue na nam de chong tu yue men din de shu wu de shu jia wu de din de ni kuai le ye ni su mu de din de jian na xin.
Similarly with our kangaroos here in Australia, if it only has one hind leg, it's going to be a bit limited. Or if its its powerful tail isn't strong enough, it's going to be limited. It needs both strong legs and a tail. As we all know, as students of the Buddha Dhamma, the Buddha taught a vast number of different topics. He taught about impermanence, he talked about taught the sufferings of samsara in great detail, he taught the six perfections, etc. A vast number of topics. And this was done for a specific reason. He didn't just teach the final, ultimate teachings, but he taught this vast array for a specific reason. And this reasoning we see applied in the world. For example, if someone wants to become a great engineer and make, for example, an aeroplane, or wants to do something amazing with modern technology, they don't just have the wish, oh, I'm going to do this and go out and do that. They have to get the training, and this training needs to be built up in a correct sequence. So one goes to school and learns one's ABCs, and as one progresses through one's schooling, one develops a variety of different skills, and as one goes into one's further education, and then one gets some work experience, and then one has the skills to do amazing things in the world. And similarly, with those of us who are looking at inner development, we too need to progress sequentially, and doing so we'll also be able to. So the Buddha presented this vast array of topics for the reason to bring one to be able to attain the ultimate goal. And the ultimate goal, as we heard earlier, is the state of Buddhahood, the state where one can attains the skills to be of greatest benefit to others. And to achieve that result, one needs to accomplish the causes, and those, as we've just heard again, are bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. So those are the two causes for the attainment of the ultimate goal, that of Buddhahood. And to be able to develop these those two causes, bodhicitta and emptiness, the Buddha taught all those other topics as well.
Men chick, Tonya to be changed, Sim, no, Tonya to be share, Gomba, and Yomoba, and the Yine, Yomoba, Chasang Yomoba, Chasang Yimoko, Bantu, or Chesna, Dine, Tonya Magomba, Jipping, and the Yomobe Yimbo, and a Midupa, Gomu, and a Chapa Munjua Kayagi, and a Katu Mado, and a Kondo Katu Mare. And then several combine, several community, Kondoki, the Gawa, in a Chapakatu Marge, Kunimbo, the Little Timbana, and the Chorchika, the Chorchika, the Chorchika, the Chorchika to go marriage. That don't need to be shut up, said the combine, digging Yom of Chazang in Depchilia, Chazang in Yibos and Chazam Yabos to go, don't need to be shut up, said, must you want to Yomoba, Bayak, and you were sure to Coronis. Just on Coronchi book, don't you chip combine and to give Dacha, Kondo, and Naya.
An illustration that's often given is that of a powerful medicine, a medicine that can cure all illnesses. Well, I don't know if this really exists in the world, probably not, but it's an analogy to remind us of the power of the wisdom realizing emptiness. Because it's only the wisdom realizing emptiness that has the power to eliminate all our afflictive minds, all these minds that cause us so much pain and suffering and lead us into activities that harm others and cause pain and suffering to others too. It's only the wisdom realizing emptiness that can completely eliminate the seeds and the imprints of the ignorance of true grasping. There are a variety of other antidotes that are taught. These certainly can harm the afflictions, but they certainly cannot eradicate all of them. For example, if one meditates on dissatisfactory nature of objects that one is attached to, or the ugliness of objects that one is attached to, that will weaken one's mind of attachment, but it won't prevent the arisal of anger or the arisal of pride. And similarly, if one meditates effectively on patience, This will certainly weaken the arousal of the mind of anger, but it's not going to destroy our attachment. The only antidote that can destroy all our afflictive minds, whether it's anger, whether it's attachment, whether it's pride, whether it's jealousy, this is the wisdom realizing emptiness, and that is why it is such an important mind.
아니 코롱 안에 되셔 아침부 콩으로 침부 아니 진가제 침부 여바이나 아니 코롱게 네 돈이 두고 일하기네 돈달라 돈이 또요 말 가서는 코 녀모 춤 땅도나 돈이 또는 고묘디 녀모 버셔서 마님 거래 제가 가시게 땅이 돈이 또요 세야 되고 나제 침부 제야다 나 돈이 또요 세 나제 제야다 나 돈이 또요 세 진치 차바 제야다 니는 용고래 제가 칸에 봐 돈이 또요 러고 니네 돈달 돈이 또요 말해
This then is followed by a second question from John Dompa. Why is it then that so many people who claim to have realized emptiness have no less attachment and hatred? So the question is quite clear. And so at the time then there would have been people who made the claim to have realized emptiness. Maybe they really thought they had. But their behavior hadn't changed. Their way of acting, the way of speaking hadn't changed. And in fact, people may observe that despite making this claim, they seem really very proud and arrogant, or they act with a lot of attachments or become angry quite easily. Yet, so here John Tompa is raising this doubt. How can people who say they've realized emptiness actually act in such a way?
もうそのままきはしんじょうだってからそのごろせねペネマズリアベイドコロシガズギャパネムシャペミディマチネムヨウサムジェジベイドドチジャガズグガレネムシャバネディヤンゴシュジュアでガガカヨマガネムナガガスヨマルワおじてなそそとんゆとばいなとんゆとんねとちとんゆゴンバイゴンクヨバいなとんゆとごよばいなにょもんべディニネトゥマレソレでだだなつぎ supuga 체도스는 담두세월 담박이세 투발이야 말을 겹셔봐네 마디마 휴루루와 매휴루와 제가 진 동이 또 봐이나 담도 나라 마도 봐다 시 집아래 제가 동이 또 봐네 고 녀모 받게 나신 고 빠지 고 니가 충충 차도 보래 제가 니나신데 제가 동이 또나 녀 코로 충주 그래 대샤 충주 그래 나제 충주 그래 되네 인자 아니 에 니 니네 또 동이 문에 또 받는 주고 그래 제가 니네게 대샤 채워 콩로 채워 님 나제 침부 랍네 동이 도기 랍네 동이 도요 말레스 니슨 거래
Then Lama Tisha replies by saying, had they really grasped the true meaning of emptiness, their thoughts, words and deeds would be as soft as stepping on cotton wool or as sampa soup laced with butter. So what the meaning of this answer, because we're probably not so familiar with sampa soup laced with butter, is that first of all, if one has actually realized emptiness or gained a realization of emptiness, then one's way of acting, one's way of speaking will be very gentle, will be very soft. And that is because of the impact this realization will have had on one's mind. One's mind will have become very gentle, very soft. So, for example, if there was a large ball here of wool and we were to fall over, but fall onto this this wooden ball, we wouldn't be harmed at all because we'd have a soft landing. So this then is likened to someone who has a powerful understanding or realization of emptiness. Then when afflictions arise within them, those afflictions don't harm them because of the power of the understanding or the realization of emptiness. Or similarly, if one has a bowl of this soup that we had here, a champa soup, and then butter is put in there. So the butter is going to dissolve in this hot soup. So similar to this, when one has a realization of emptiness, so which would be likened to the champa soup, then when the afflictions arise, they will be very weak and they would quickly dissipate. Just like dropping butter into hot soup, it will quickly melt. So this again shows that if someone has actually realized emptiness, their mind is going to become soft and gentle, their behavior, their way of speaking will be soft and gentle. And when afflictions arise within them, those afflictions will not harm them, will not disturb them at all. Whereas if someone is afflicted, their behavior, their way of speaking, their way of acting is clearly afflicted, then they're not so likely to have realized emptiness. This shows the importance of meditating on emptiness. And then, of course, then the question is, so what is emptiness? Well, as we've had explained many times previously, the first step is to come to understand what that appears to us, whatever appears to our mind, appears to be truly existent. So this is the first step, and this is really important to understand what true existence, what is meant by true existence. So true existence itself is something that doesn't exist. Objects may appear to exist truly, but this true existence is a non-existent. It doesn't exist. And the understanding of the lack of true existence, that is the understanding of emptiness, or the realization of the lack of true existence is the realization of emptiness. So the meditation is what we come to see how something appears to us, comes to see that it appears truly, then we search for this true existence, and when we come to see that we cannot find this true existence, we have a realization of emptiness. So let's talk a little bit then about what true existence is. We hear now that it's so important, so let's talk a little about what is meant by something appearing to exist truly or exist inherently. So whatever appears to our mind, whether it's an external phenomenon, an internal phenomenon, it always appears to our mind as being independent, as if it existed from its own side, or existing by way of its own defining characteristics. In other words, it appears to be independent, not dependent on anything at all, not dependent on causes, not dependent on conditions, but it appears to be something established by its own defining characteristics. So this is what is meant by true existence. So it's something that appears to be is independent, not dependence on anything else at all. So we often hear about this this appearance of true existence in relation to the person. So the person then appears to us as being truly existent, which means it appears to exist from its own side, not dependent on anything else such as causes and conditions, but to be independent of everything, not dependent on anything at all, existent from its own side. So this is what is meant by a truly existent person, and this is how the person or any object appears to us. The I or the person then appears to be not dependent on causes and conditions. It appears as if it's independent, something established by way of its own side. And this is what is meant by being truly existent or appearing to be inherently existent. So when we come to see that the I, like all phenomena, appears to us in this way, then we should say, well, if it appears in this way, it should exist in this way. So let's look for it. And so this is just like if we think we have a particular possession, but we don't have it before us, then of course we'll look for it. Because through looking for it, we'll know if we have it or not. If we don't find it, we clearly don't have it. So similarly, when we understand how the eye appears to us, which is that it appears to be independent, then this is what we need to look for. So we have this appearance of the eye being truly existent, then we have a mind that naturally grasps at this appearance of true existence as being correct, as being real. So we have this, and this is called the mind of true grasping. So it grasps at this appearance of true existence as if the object, for example the eye, existed in the way that it appears. And this mind of true grasping, this is the primary obstacle that keeps us bound, that keeps us trapped within samsara. And this is what we need to search for. And this appearance of true existence then, that this mind grasps at, this is what we need to search for. So we need to search for this this eye that appears to be truly existent, and to see if it exists in the way that it appears. So we start with oneself, because we all have this thought, that thought of I. So we start with ourselves. So we're not going to start when we look for the I. We're not going to look out there, over there somewhere, because the eye isn't somewhere out in the forest, but it's going to be here. So we need to start looking here.
Now,
rūgō sāsāng ādi ngā mārē sāsāng ādi, tēne ngā di zūbī tī tāng tēng lē ngā sē di nye mē di tā. Sāsāng kāsā nē, tī shā di ngā di ngā zūbī shā rē sā tā, ngā di zūbī rūgō rē sā, mā tō di ngā mārē ngā mārē sā. Tī sāsāng pā sē di zūbī tī nā lē ngā di nye kī nē mī tō.
So there are the first step of our meditation is to see how the eye appears, and that's truly. So we need this understanding of what true existence means. So if the eye appears to exist truly, it means it appears to be independent, not dependent on causes, conditions, or anything at all. So we understand that's the first step. So we understand this eye appears truly. So let's look for that. The first place to look then would be within our form aggregates, our body. And so we look through our various body parts. For example, is the eye within my hand? So it's quite clearly not, because if we were to amputate our hand and put it over there, we wouldn't say, I am over there. Because we'd just say, oh, there's my hand, but now I am still here. And we could continue to search within our various limbs and body parts, and the skin and the flesh and the organs inside, and we would come very quickly to see that the eye cannot be found within our body or within the physical aggregates.
Nanjugi, chicke, chicchala, toya, amjo, koyata, the niggi shave, rigmong, disung arabes, dimare, Naniku, Nichata, Mera, Toya, Shava, Yomar, Amjo, Yomar, Nayor, Nanye, the Yoris, Nayoris. Says on those in a shave it in a devine, Nasir, Yamere. Those in it in Shanga, said Pa, Cheva, Chen, Cheva, Jena, then a guy on Yamit again. That was a year, you name it.
And so this eye that appears to us, so the first step was to see how the eye appears or the object appears to us, and that's its truly existence. The second step is where we start the investigation. We start in the physical aggregates, and we come to see that the eye cannot be found within the body. So now we go to the third step, which is, if the eye cannot be found within the body, well, where else can it be? So that's going to be within the mind. It's only going to be in the body or in the mind. So we look in the mental aggregates. So if we're going to look within our minds, then which of our many minds is this, within which of our many minds is the truly existent I? So let's say sometimes we are angry. So is this mind of anger our truly existent I? Well, thankfully not, because we are not always angry. And likewise, sometimes minds of love or compassion arise within us. But neither the love or the compassion can be the truly existent I, because sometimes we have love arising, sometimes compassion, sometimes neither, because we're angry. So no individual I, no individual mind can be the truly existent I. Then what about our sense consciousnesses? For example, the sense consciousness of seeing or hearing. So these cannot be the eye either, because when we are asleep, these all withdraw. We're not seeing, we're not hearing, we're fast asleep, or we're in deep sleep. So it's not that the eye doesn't exist when we're in deep sleep, we're just sound asleep. So the eye cannot exist in any individual mind, nor in any of our sense consciousnesses. So this understanding then, that we have now searched for this eye that appears to us, this understanding that comes from first seeing this how the eye appears to us, appearing as being truly existent, then searching for it in the physical and the mental aggregates, and seeing that it cannot be found, This leads us to an understanding of the pure empty state. So this is an understanding in the direction of becoming a realization of emptiness. It's an understanding of emptiness, but it's not a realization. When we come to realize this, realize this pure empty state with a valid cognizer, with a mind of valid cognition, then we would have a realization of emptiness. So having gone through this investigation and seeing that this I, which appears to be truly existent, cannot be found anywhere, we come to an understanding of emptiness. And the more we the more we meditate on emptiness, the more familiar we will become. With this understanding that the I does not exist in the way that it appears. Our familiarity with emptiness will grow and strengthen. And as this understanding of emptiness grows and strengthens through repeatedly meditating this way over a sustained period, then our appearance of true grasping and our grasping at the appearance of true existence, this will progressively weaken. So as our understanding of emptiness grows and strengthens, our grasping at true existence will weaken. It's good to repeat an illustration that we often give in this context, because this illustration clearly shows the process of how we remain trapped within samsara. So you probably all know this illustration, but it's like was said, it's good to hear again. If we leave here tonight and we see under a tree, we see a shape, and it looks just like a snake, and we know there are snakes here, and we know they are dangerous, then of course what will happen, seeing a snake just in front of us, fear will arise within us, and quite possibly also anger, wanting to kill the snake so as to protect ourselves. So this is a normal response. And we may then go and call a friend for a bit of help to how to deal with this difficulty, and then our brave friend comes along, and with their torture wisdom, shines it on the snake, And of course there's no snake, it's just a coiled rope. So what has happened here? And there was an appearance of a snake. This appearance was grasped at. So that there's no snake, so this is a non-existent. There's no snake, there's a non-existent, like the appearance of true existence. So this appears, the mind grasps at it. This mind is the mind of, likened to the mind of true grasping. It grasps at it. From this mind, this ignorance of true grasping, comes all the other afflicted minds, such as fear, such as anger. So this is what we encounter with every object that appears to our mind, in that it appears truly, and this true existence is a non-existent, and then we have a mind grasping at it, existing in the way that it appears, so this mind of true grasping, and from that, all the afflictions come, and we remain trapped in samsara. Then our friend comes with a torch of wisdom. They shine the torch onto this dangerous snake. It disappears, and there is the rope. So what happens in that instant? Our fear is gone, and our anger is gone. We may feel a bit foolish, but our fear and our anger is gone. So this is then likened to the wisdom realizing emptiness, realizing that this appearance of true existence doesn't exist at all. And that, and then through the power of that wisdom, no resulting afflictions will come, because this grasping at true existence is severed. So this illustration is good to recall many times, because it shows how we remain trapped in samsara. That something that doesn't exist, that appears to our mind, so it's the appearance of true existence of any object. So it appears to be truly, then we have the mind of true grasping at it, and from this, all the afflictions come. But then, as we meditate on emptiness, coming to see that this appearance of true existence cannot be found, then this wisdom serves to sever this ignorant mind of true grasping, and therefore no afflicted minds result from this.
And then, as the Gansa said, Nga said, Yor Vyomar, Nga said, Yores, and the Ganes Yores, and Tan Gilan, Jin, Cheshe, Mambo Chile, Dun, and Drupti Ventures, Chesan Dun, and Drupche, the name Pumbo, Dun, and Drupiki, and then under Pumbo, Sha, Cha, Baba, Rugo, Mango, Torche, Lelia, number Sheba.
풍보다 남시에다 차상 쪽에 토바들 나 세디 파르에 따바 좀 요래스 르 따바 좀 요래스 제가 나세디 나 요래 나 가르스는 유단 긴 망보치를 뛰는 줍디 요래스 제가 강아야 유단 긴 체제 강아야 마주비게 코롱 원의 줍디게 나 세디 요 말레스다 니 메바디 동의레스 제가 나 요래 아니 가르스 요래 유단 긴 체제 망보치를 뛰네 줍어레스 제가 뛰는 줍어다 되니게 루이파 따바 좀 요래스 올다.
And then the final step here is to remind ourselves that the I that we have sought, this doesn't exist. This I that appears to exist truly, this doesn't exist. But it doesn't mean that there is no I at all. We talk about I'm sitting, I'm meditating, I'm thinking about this. So the I that doesn't exist is the one we've sought. But the I does exist, and how does it exist? It exists independent on causes and conditions. The I that appears to be independent from causes and conditions, that appears to be established by way of its established from its own side, that truly existent I doesn't exist. That's a non-existent. But an I that is dependent on a vast variety of causes and conditions, this we can say exists. And all these causes and conditions come together in our aggregates, in our physical aggregates, and all in our variety of mental consciousnesses, our various minds. And then we impute onto these aggregates, a mind imputes I onto this collection of aggregates. And this is how we can say that the I exists. It exists through imputation, or exists by imputation, by mind. So that, in brief, the I that doesn't exist is the truly existent I. But the I that we can say does exist is a mind that exists through imputation onto the basis of the aggregates, and the aggregates, the physical mental aggregates, have come about independence on a vast array of causes and conditions.
되게 다 돈이 인지 인보 전세 때 공고리 세치 제 침을 손으로와 되는 인장한 주인에다 되게 롭산 될 때네 아니 즉 자주 샘세디 아니 샘제 탐지기도 산주 고방 토벌 지인 샘베 삼로디 자주 샘래 지산 되네기 자주 샘디 야고션 깨라 샘제 탐지 동화다 잔나 샘비기 인지 자와 인지 공고리 되는 인장한 주인에 니리 니리야 아니 계치 되네기 샘제 탐지 Dumada Chana Sembi, Zewa Nizhi Samdayada, Dinigi Samdayada, Simjan Tam Sanjokoba Togudu, Sembi, Samadi Yana Yana Samdan. Chita Sanjokoba, Disamdawa, Sanjokoba Tobala, and Yumomba, the Meva Service, and Yumomba Payala, the Yambo Yashodi, don't need to be shared. Chisada don't need to go, that don't need him. Manjina said, Ganesh do something on the Chevachia, Samdayada, and I said, Manju Samunale, and I said, Ganesh Chevdu. ちょっと茶碗の足が入ってから試写が終わるとすぐ茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗茶碗 Dubja Tadu de San Yugova Tobina, the Rangi, Yomomba Chasan, Digi, and they do that number one Digi Yoga Master, Shen the upper, Gidina, Shen, Dumas, Shen, Roger, Shen, Pembered by Jetchen Budu Tuborwa, just that Dinez and San Yugova to the Jetchen Budde, Dinez and D told the Anduki, Ninadin, that the Nigget and you same come, that don't you to be shed up some daddy, Nijetchen Budde, Sajay, Mundure, the Nigget, that don't you to change your same gomia de Antic. Jambatan Zewa, Digi, Shukimogazi, Shukimogom to an air, and don't change your same day, and Yale, Lila, you go there. The name that Jamzokomia, the Kitchimucha, go there. Then Jamzokomia, the Nagab Mandu, Mandula, the Jacob Conda, the Shukimu Yoba, and Zanganduki, Nagab Tilian, the new Liga, Luma, you some Yenjo Domiadi, Sutumsuya, the Kitchimu, Luma, you some Yenjo, Luigi Neva.
So our time is up unfortunately for tonight, so we'll stop here. So let's just briefly recap what we looked at tonight. So tonight we looked at this answer from Lama Tisha where he says, emptiness of which compassion is the very essence. So this was presented as the ultimate meaning or the ultimate goal of the Buddha Dharma, the ultimate meaning of the Buddha Dharma. So what we spoke then, within this context, we spoke about what bodhicitta is. So bodhicitta has these two components. First is meditating on how all sentient beings want to be free from suffering and experience only happiness. All sentient beings, just like ourselves, don't want to experience even a moment of suffering, a moment of pain and difficulty, but only want to experience happiness. So when one develops this mind to the point where one sincerely and wholeheartedly takes responsibility for freeing all beings from suffering, then one attains this mind of great compassion. This is the first part of the mind of bodhicitta. The second part then comes so that I can fulfill this responsibility I've taken on, so that I can keep this promise I've just given. I need to be the most skilled guide, the best, the most powerful of beings, being with most, the greatest quality, so I can be of true benefit to others. And here, one generates the strong commitment to attain the state of Buddhahood for the sake of others. And then one has given rise to the mind of bodhicitta. So this is something that one needs to cultivate again and again and again. And if we meditate on bodhicitta repeatedly over a sustained period, then the minds of love and compassion will arise more frequently within us, have greater power, and will abide within us for longer, and thereby have a greater impact on our relations with others and bring about an ever more powerful peace of mind. So this is one aspect that we need to meditate on repeatedly, the mind of bodhicitta. Then secondly, is the mind of emptiness. Because having made this commitment to free all beings from the state of suffering, we were committed to attaining Buddhahood for their sake, we need to cultivate the antidote to what keeps us trapped in samsara and prevents us from attaining Buddhahood. Namely, we need to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness. This wisdom that cuts this mind of true grasping, or the mind of self-grasping. The mind of self-grasping, which grasps at the self as existing truly, this needs to be eliminated through the cultivation of the wisdom realizing emptiness. So we heard tonight about how to meditate on emptiness. First, we need to understand that the object appears to us, for example, the self appears to us to exist truly, so it appears to be existent from its own side. And then we need to search for this in the physical aggregates, in the mental aggregates, and seeing that we can't find it anywhere, it doesn't exist. And this then leads us to an understanding of emptiness. And this is something we need to do repeatedly again and again, whilst holding on to the understanding that doesn't mean that nothing exists at all, but rather through a collection of a vast number of causes and conditions, then if we're talking about the self, then the aggregates come together, the physical and mental aggregates, and onto this, mind imputes self. So this is a conventional self, and this exists through imputation onto the basis of the aggregates. The self that appears to be truly existent, this is a non-existence and doesn't exist at all. And we can remind ourselves about the analogy of the snake and the coiled rope to remind us of how this process works. So again, we should try to meditate on this each and every day. And if we do so, meditate on emptiness repeatedly over a sustained period, then our understanding of emptiness will grow, our mind of true grasping will weaken. And as this mind of true grasping weakens, then all the afflictive minds that come from this mind of true grasping, minds such as anger and attachment and pride and jealousy, these too weaken. And as they weaken, our mind becomes less disturbed, our actions that bring about harmful results for ourselves and for others, they become weaker and less frequent. So therefore these two streams of practices, the method side of bodhicitta and the wisdom side of cultivating the understanding of emptiness, ideally, these are what we should all commit to doing every morning, and not just now and again when the mood takes us, but to do so each and every day. But if this is difficult, then the very minimum we need to do is guard our ethics and guard our ethics well, because we are all dominated still by strong afflicted minds. So the very least we need to do is guard our ethics. So this means we need to cultivate a mind of restraint, not allowing our mind to go in a direction that brings harm. And this then will limit our physical behavior that would otherwise be harmful, limit our verbal behavior that would otherwise be harmful. And then coupled with this, we should cultivate the wish to be of benefit to others whenever we can. So this is the foundation, this practice of ethics, is the foundation, and this is something we really all need to do, and we need to meditate on this every single day. And that is really the bare minimum that we should engage in. And if you can, you have the time and the inclination, then cultivate bodhicitta, cultivate the wisdom understanding emptiness as well.
Then
it's us. So next time we'll continue from where we are here, still on page 255, where there's some reference made to Aryadeva, and we'll also look at the relationship between the six perfections and emptiness. So we'll continue from there next time. Tomorrow evening, as you all know, Lama Zopa will be arriving here, and he will soon start to present some wonderful teachings, as well as later giving a variety of initiations. So this is something that we all are particularly fortunate to have this opportunity in, and all of you probably live close by, so you have this opportunity now on your doorstep. So this is something that I certainly rejoice in, and I hope you have the opportunity to come and receive some of the teachings and possibly initiations. Thank you very much, and we'll end here for tonight.
Oh, God.